All right. Well, good morning again. How are we going? Those that have been journeying through John, are we enjoying it? Yes? Oh, don't sound very excited again. Boy, it's hard to get you people pumped up. I don't know what we're going to have to do to get you pumped up. What gets you going? Well, we are continuing our journey through the book of John. If you're visiting or you're new to church, we've been going through the book of John, and who is one of Jesus' closest friends. And we've been looking at this series that we've called Seven. And we've called it Seven because there are seven signs or seven miracles that John puts into his story about Jesus. And there are seven statements, I am statements, that Jesus makes about himself, where Jesus says, I am, and he gives us something. And we're looking at the signs and those statements. So we're looking at two this morning. First, we're going to have a quick look at this sign, and then we're going to have a look at the I am statement for this week. So let me pray, I think, before we begin. And then we'll have a look at this passage. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again that you've kept these Bibles for thousands of years, and you've kept it so that we can be taught, we can learn, we can be encouraged, we can be challenged, we can find joy, we can find repentance, we can so much of life we can discover in this book, because it's more than just a book. It's your word to us. And we just want to thank you that we can learn from it. And we will pray right now that you might inspire us. If there's something that we need to think or feel or do, would you just help us to make that clear in our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, in our sign and our I am this week, there's kind of a bit of a link between the two passages. The first passage, Jesus says, don't be afraid. And in the middle of that storm, which we just read, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. The second passage starts with Jesus saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. So there's this theme in both of them where Jesus is speaking to our fears and our worries and our doubts and the things that concern us. And Jesus wants us to move from that place of fear to stay in that place of faith. Now, we're always going to get a bit afraid at times, but we don't want to stay in that place of being anxious all the time. We want to rest in faith in who Jesus is. I don't know what gets your heart pumping. I've shared before, I'm not real good with heights, especially like lookouts and tall buildings. I don't, anyone else like that? I go near the edge of a lookout and just this sort of adrenaline shoots up your legs. You can just feel it, and it's horrible. And the kids, that whenever we go to lookouts, Sam gets cranky because I'm there. I'm saying, don't get near the edge, kids. No, no, I'm just like, no, you're not allowed. She's not allowed to pick up the kids. You know, when there's a fence and she picks them up to have a look over, I'm like, you can't do that. That's not allowed. Oh, and I'm pretty hopeless too with little bugs and all those sort of things too. And I was out the backyard doing some work a couple of weeks ago and pulling down this sort of water feature thing, and it had this black plastic underneath it. And when I pull the black plastic up, it's a nice, damp, warm area. Man, bugs everywhere. And there was about 50 cockroaches just went whoosh everywhere. And oh, the kids go, ah, cockroach. Ah. And finally, no, I don't think Jason Briggs is here this morning, is he? No. He's a pretty tough guy, Jason, if you know him, a pretty rugged kind of tough guy, and there's not much that scares him, but he didn't like the cockroaches. And one crawled up his leg, and he's, ah! So when you see him next time, say, hey, Matt said you like cockroaches. I don't know what gets your heart pumping. But in this story, the disciples, Jesus' friends there, their hearts were pumping. Now, there's two things, I guess, that got their hearts pumping. The first one wasn't as scary as what you thought. And it's around this story. If you remember, if you're here last week, we had the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus talking about, I am the bread of life. You remember that? Who was here last week? Yes, we had a guest talk about that story. Now, this sign, miracle of walking on the water happens right in the middle of that story. It's kind of just jammed there in the middle. The other Gospels, Matthew and Mark, have their own little section for this, but this is kind of jammed in the middle of that other story. And you might remember that whole bread of life story was centered around Moses. You remember that? They were comparing getting fed in the desert by Moses to getting fed bread by Jesus, and it was all around that reflection on Moses. Now, this little story in the middle is around water. What do we know about the story of Exodus and water? Come on, someone. Crossing the Red Sea, possibly the most famous miracle in the Old Testament, where in that Exodus with Moses, Moses stood there and God parted the Red Sea so Israel could march through. But here we are, and in this story, we're told in chapter 6, you can see they're on the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee's got lots of mountains around it, and often it can be nice and calm, and that cold mountain air can then come down, and quite suddenly it sits about what did it say here on my little notes? About 200 metres below sea level. And it's quite low, and so the difference in temperature. And so quite suddenly you can go from this sort of calm little place to a storm raging, right? And this is what happens in the story. The disciples are set off in this boat. And because Jesus has disappeared, and again, if you remember last time, he did that miracle of feeding, well, with women and children, it was probably 10,000, 15,000 people. He fed all these people with these few bits of bread, this great miracle. And they wanted to make him king, and he said he wasn't ready to be king, and he didn't even want to be a political king, Jesus. He's a heavenly king. And so he disappeared, and off he went. And so the disciples are left there. We can see in chapter 6, and they're there, and they're waiting, and Jesus has slipped away. Verse 16, that evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But darkness fell, and Jesus hadn't come back, so they got in the boat and headed across the lake. So here they are, Jesus is nowhere. How long do you wait for Jesus? I don't know. I mean, you've got to be polite waiting for anyone. This is Jesus, right? You're going to wait a fair while, aren't you, before you go, do we go now? You imagine all the disciples looking at each other. What do you think? What do you think, Peter? Do we, yeah? And Peter, of course, puts his foot in his mouth all the time, says, yeah, let's go. Off we go. So off they head, and they get in this boat, and they get in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and then all of a sudden this storm just starts picking up. And this is what you can go and read even now in that sea, how quickly storms can come in the Sea of Galilee. And so the storm's raging around them, but that's not what scares them. That's not what gets their heart pumping. I mean, these are hardened fishermen. They've been in a few storms. They might have been a bit worried at this point. But what gets them really scared is someone comes walking on the water. Now, it doesn't say it in John, but in Matthew it says they thought it was a ghost. Now, I don't know what you think of ghosts. We won't get into all that theology today, but they see this figure walking. I mean, they're in the middle of the sea, and someone's walking out there in the water, and they're terrified. I mean, that's the word that the Bible uses, I think, is even in the NLT. Yep, they were terrified, verse 19. Terrified. But it turns out this wasn't a ghost walking on the water. It was Jesus. And as Jesus gets near the boat, he calls out to them. He says, it is I, don't be afraid. Or if we read the literal translation in the Greek, I am, don't be afraid. Interesting, isn't it? I am, don't be afraid, which is God's name in the Old Testament where he said, I am. And here Jesus says, I am, don't be afraid. And so they let Jesus in the boat. And then it says, immediately they arrived at their destination. So this fear and trembling, the storm, all this fear and worry, and then Jesus comes, and in the midst of that fear, in the midst of the struggle, immediately they're on the shore, and Jesus is rescued and calmed and really just saved them. And it's a really interesting passage here. And in Matthew's gospel, again, it says after they still didn't get it, they were still amazed. There was still this kind of shock of who this person is walking on the water. John just tells the story flat out, in Jesus got, and they were there. But when I see this and I see this, who is this person walking on the water? And they were terrified. And then even afterwards, they were amazed. There's this kind of tension with Jesus where he's the holy, mighty one, right? The one that walks on water, where you fall down your feet and go, I'm not worthy. But he's also the good shepherd, isn't he? That picks up his disciples, scoops them up, and when they're in the midst of the storm, he's the one who loves them. Famous C.S. Lewis story. And if you go and watch that image of the lion of Jesus, and they ask the question, is he safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He is the king. And when we're in trouble, when we're in the storm, when we're afraid, when we're fearful, when we're worried about what's ahead, or we're worried about what's happening now, we need to know that the Lion of Judah is with us, but also the Good Shepherd. Amen? For me, I need both these things. I need that reverent awe of Jesus. The one who John says, when he's writing Revelation, he had this revelation of Jesus and he fell down as though dead before Jesus. We need that picture of Jesus to know that this is the one who's for me, but we also need that picture of the lamb who was slain, the good shepherd who carries his sheep. Amen? Do you follow? Because when I'm in trouble, when I'm in the storm, yes, I want to know that Jesus is going to pick me up and scoop me up and cuddle me. That's important, right? But But I also want to know he's the Lion of Judah who has all the power to walk on water and control of nature. Amen? He's the one that can do something in charge. So we hold both these things in tension. When we're in the storm, when we're fearful, how do we move from fear to faith? We hold those two things in tension. And it's the image that we sang about earlier, and it's the image that we see in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, do not weep, see the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. This is my Jesus in the storm. He's the Lion. Everyone say the Lion. The Light, right? He's powerful. He's mighty. He's the one who can actually do something in the situation. But I don't just run away from this scary lion because he's also the lamb that was slain. He's the one who's tender and compassionate and gives his life for you. And so when we're in the storm, yes, in this story, it's a practical sign of Jesus rescuing the disciples, but there's still this image of Jesus saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Yes, be in reverent awe of the Lion who's powerful and mighty but can do something for you, but also trust that Jesus is that good shepherd who picks you up. He's compassionate and loving and kind. And when I'm in trouble and I'm fearful about what's ahead, maybe right now there's something on your mind and you're thinking, I don't know how this is going to work out. You remember who is with you and for you. The Lion of Judah who's all-powerful and the Lamb who was slain, who is tender and compassionate and caring. So you've got the one that loves you more than anything and anyone else in the world, and you've got the one that's all-powerful and almighty more than anyone else in the world. That's our Jesus. So in the storms, we're going to remember the Lion and the Lamb. Amen? Amen. Let me pray, and then we're going to have the next reading and dip into the next little part of John. Heavenly Father, we just want to rejoice in some of these images you've given us in Scripture of who you are that tells us about who you are. We want to thank you that when we're in the storms of life, we can find peace, we can find faith, we can find trust because you are the one who's tender and loving and kind and compassionate. You're the one who's forgiving, and no matter what we've done in the past, you're the one who offers new beginnings, who offers new life, who offers new forgiveness, the God of second chances and third chances. We just rejoice that you're the compassionate, kind, loving God in that image of the lamb, that image of the shepherd who picks up his sheep. Thank you for that image. But in the storms of life, Lord, I want to know you're in charge as well and you're powerful. And so we thank you for that image of the Lion, the one who is mighty, the one who is king over all. And we rejoice that when we're facing trouble, you can inspire us that you're in control. We've got the one who's all-powerful and almighty. So, Lord, for each person that gets in those times of fear and doubt and worry about what's ahead, would you remind us of these two images, of the compassionate, loving God who gives us a cuddle, but also the one who's all-powerful. We thank you for that image, mate. Give us strength and move us from fear to faith in every situation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And just as Anika comes for the second reading, I just reminded me, I've shared before, Christian comedian Ken Davis has got this T-shirt where there's the wolf and there's all these animals bearing down on him, but he's holding the hands of Jesus and saying, I'm with him. I'm with him. It's just that safety we have in Jesus.
John 14:1-11, Jesus, the way to the Father. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do.
Thanks, Anika. All right. So in our I am statement, again, there's this movement where Jesus is telling them not to be afraid, but to have faith, to have faith. How do we know anything before there were smartphones, right? How did we survive without our smartphones? Maybe some don't have it still. How do we take photos before smartphones? We were down the beach about 2 weeks ago and this couple came up and said, can you take a photo for us? And I'm terrible taking photos. I gave it to my daughter and said, you can take it of them. And then as she gave her the camera to take a photo, she said, oh, look, just be careful. It's the last photo. You know, and like my kids are like, what does that mean? You know, well, the last, you know, it was a 24 roll, you know, that was it. 24 photos in this traditional camera. It's like, how do we survive before we had the smartphones? Maybe some of you feel like this. So glad I grew up doing this and not this. Some of you feel like that? Well, I reckon you've kind of romanticized that era. Like everyone says, well, before phones, everyone talked to each other and... But this is what I reckon, this is what it was like. It was no different, but instead of a phone, you had your newspaper, right? So you're all romanticised that past. How did we find the way before our smartphone? Oh, who remembers those ones? And then you had to, what a money-making scheme. Then they'd keep updating the version, right? Then you had version 14, then you had to buy version 15 because they put a few new roads in and you'd be flipping through and... I grew up with this and I'm normally driving and Smith is there with the directory getting it all wrong. She's terrible with directions. We often had some interesting discussions around where are we turning? But there, you know, that's... Who's got a navigator in their car like that? Yeah, okay, there you go, yeah. How did we find the way before we had a smartphone? Now, the other week I got a bit lost too without my smartphone. Well, this is Thomas's question to Jesus. How do we find the way? I don't know the way. I don't know the way. And it starts in verse 1 of chapter 14 with this quite well-known verse. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Here's those words again. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, says Jesus. Now, why would the disciples at this point be feeling troubled? Why are they scared? Why would Jesus even say that? Well, if we read the chapter before, which we're not going to, you can go home and have a look at chapter 13. But a couple of things have happened just before Jesus says this. The first thing that's happened is that Judas has just been revealed as the one that's going to betray Jesus to death, and he's left the group. So Jesus has finally outed Judas. Judas, I know you're the one. Go and do what you've got to do. And so Judas, who is going to betray Jesus to death, for those bit of silver coins, he's been found out. Well, Jesus has revealed him and he's left. So that's the first thing, that's suddenly these people that have been following Jesus, and one of them is gone, and Jesus said they're going to betray him. I mean, that'd shake their world a bit. The next thing that's just happened in chapter 13 before this is Jesus has just told his disciples that he's going to leave them. Now, again, they've been journeying with him for several years. Their whole life is tied up in Jesus. And then Jesus says to them, look, I just let you know, I'm leaving. And then the third thing that's just happened in chapter 13 is Peter, whose name means the rock. And he was the tough one. He was the strong, brash one, the one that always put his foot in his mouth. He has been told by Jesus in front of everyone that he's going to deny Jesus three times. Now you imagine the other disciple, this is Peter the rock. I mean, if he's going to fail, what chance have we got, right? And so Judas has been revealed. He's left the group. Jesus has told them that he's leaving them. And Peter has just been told that he's going to deny Jesus three times. So it's here where Jesus comes in. That's the context of this passage where Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I mean, what the disciples are worried about, they're worried about what lies ahead. Anyone ever been concerned about what lies ahead? All of us, right? Even if you're in the midst of difficulty and you're thinking, what's tomorrow going to bring in this? What does the future hold? And the disciples are in that place, which is a real human condition that every one of us at some point suffer. And probably right now there's people thinking, there's some things on my mind, I'm thinking, how is this going to work out? This worry about the future. We've all been there. And it's into this concern about the future that Jesus speaks these words of assurance. He's the one that stands over time. You know, we can only see what's in front. Jesus stands over all time. He knows what's ahead, what's behind, what's now. We can trust what he says. He sees all of it. Now, we've probably heard many of those famous predictions that have gone wrong. The famous IBM chairman that said, I think there's maybe room in the world for 5 computers, you know, and see how that turned out. Or you might have heard about the famous recording studio that rejected the Beatles, you know, and they said, I don't like their music and guitar music's on the way out. And I bet he's eating some humble pie right now. Or more recently, a few years ago, there's no way Donald Trump could be president. A lot of people get the future wrong. Jesus doesn't. The Bible doesn't. So much of, even if we go back in the Old Testament, we go back all these predictions and prophecies of Jesus, hundreds of them, and they all come true, right? Whatever Jesus says comes true. He's the one that knows the future. And so here, when people are worried about the future, Jesus speaks in and tells them about the future. And there's kind of 4 parts in that verses 2-4 to what he says to comfort them. The first thing he says there's plenty of room in heaven. This is not a little room for exclusive 2 or 3 people. There's plenty of room. If you look in your Bibles in verse 2, there is more than enough room in my Father's house. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus says, don't worry. Heaven is a place. The kingdom is growing. The church is still growing. There is room for you. There's so much room. And the second part of that is Jesus says, there's room for you. He doesn't just say, look, there's plenty of room in heaven. He says, there's plenty of room for you. And Jesus is saying that today. There is plenty of room for you. Have a look in verse 2 and 3. I'm going to prepare a place for you. The third part of that is Jesus says, I'm coming back. So he's just told them that he's leaving. And here Jesus says, when everything is ready, I will come and get you. So Jesus is coming back, he says. And then the fourth thing he says is, when I come back, I'm taking you to be with me forever. Now, this is kind of Christianity 101 for many of you, but it's something that we've got to get in our heads and our hearts, right? Because when we're worried about the future, we've got to go, Jesus sees the future. And what he says is he's prepared a place for me in heaven for eternity. There's plenty of room for me. And then he's coming back to take me to be with him forever. Amen? Right? This is hope in the Bible. You get this, don't you? And this is what he tells these disciples. This is it. I'm going to prepare a place for you. There's plenty of room, and I'm coming back to take you to be with me. And then he makes this statement, and you know how to get there. I mean, you know the way. When I was down last Thursday, Friday, I went down to some training down at Epping, and I didn't want to drive back Thursday night and then get up early Thursday morning and hit the highway again. So I just messaged Epping Baptist and said, oh, would anyone put me up for the night? And I thought, and someone did. That was really nice of them. Let me stay in their house for the night and fed me. It was really nice. But I got on my Google Maps and got there safely. And then on the way out the next morning, I thought, I know where I'm going. So I didn't turn my phone on, and I spent about 10 minutes around some back streets of Carlingford somewhere, and eventually I had to pull over and just turn on the maps and go, I need to know the way. I need to know the way. Well, here Jesus, he makes kind of this statement. You know the way. And Thomas pipes up and says in verse 5, no, we don't, Lord. We've got no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? We've got no idea. Yes, you said you're going to prepare heaven, and you said there's plenty of space for us, and we don't know how to get there. No idea. And that's where we come to this, one of the most famous I am statements of all, if not the most famous. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He says the way, it's not a program. The way, it's not a religion where, look, go and do some stuff and then you can get to heaven. Jesus says, it's me, personally, me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus says, I am the way. He doesn't say, look, here's one way to get to heaven. We used to sing this old song in my Sunday school. Whenever I'm preaching, these songs come back to me. I hope you allow me to say this. Is that all right if I say some of these? They're never in the sermon notes, but I'm preaching and I just remember these songs. Isn't that what a good thing my Sunday school teachers did? And it goes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And we had these sort of one-way signs and all these things. It was great fun. But Jesus is making an exclusive claim. In a world of many religions, in a world where not only are we told him that we should respect other religions, we're told him that we should almost accept other religious practices and we should do these practices. Jesus makes this exclusive claim that I am the way and no one gets to heaven without Jesus. Because no one can be the sacrifice that Jesus was when he died on the cross. No one can offer forgiveness. Acts 4, another famous verse, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. No other name. Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus says, I am the truth. It's not as many people today say, oh, what's true for you is true for you, and you believe that, and what's true for me is true for me. No, it's Jesus says, there's one truth. I am the truth. And Jesus says, I am the life. And this is both eternal life and also life now. What the meaning of real life now. Jesus says, I'm the only way. The exclusive claim of Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this is good news because all these other religions say, here's some stuff you can try and do and maybe be good enough. Here's some stuff you can try and do and maybe you'll come back as a horse instead of a fly. I don't know. Here's some stuff you can do and maybe you might just make it to some sort of paradise. Or Jesus says, I died for you, believe in me, and you can come to heaven. That's why it's the best news, right? It's just the grace of Jesus Christ. And there is no way. There can't be different truths. One is true. Now, maybe you've already accepted it. Maybe you're still wrestling with it. Maybe you need to go and have a look for yourself. But what brings real meaning? What explains life? Nothing to me does than what God says about himself in the Bible and Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. So when we're worried about the future, when we're worried, when those anxieties about what tomorrow holds, we're facing that difficult situation, we don't know how it's going to end, is it going to end how we like, or we have to trust the God who's in control of the future. Amen? He's in control of the future. So when we're finding that difficult place and we're worried about the future, we say, don't be afraid because the lion and the lamb are with me, the all-powerful and the all-compassionate one. We say, don't be afraid because Jesus sees into the future and he's an assured place for me. Amen? And we don't be afraid because we know that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. So have faith. Have faith. Doesn't mean at times things aren't going to come up. I'm the same. Things come up and you have this moment of anxiousness. But start praying that God would reveal the truth about who Jesus is, the true image of who he is, and you'll find this peace comes over you from the one who knows the future. So I'd like to pray for us. I'd like everyone to close our eyes as we pray. And look, just as a sign of just reaching out to Jesus, if anyone right now is worried about the future, I just want you to just put your hand up just while I pray. I'm not going to tell anyone. Everyone's got their eyes closed. But just as a sign that I've got this thing on my mind. I'm worried what the future's going to hold in this, and you're concerned about that. I just want to pray a blessing over you. Anyone who's got just, there's something in your future and you're worried about it. Heavenly Father, you are the one who sees the future. And that's the first assurance I pray over each person who now has got a worry or a concern about what's ahead. I pray they would know that God sees past the future. He knows what's ahead. Lord, I would also pray that they would get that image of the lion and the lamb. They would know that you're the safe comforter, the loving, graceful lamb, the shepherd, but you're also the all-powerful, mighty lion who is in charge and king over all. Would you grant them those images of faith? Would you remind them in the storm, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life? So, Lord, just bring comfort, bring faith where there is fear. Help us to trust in the future, to know that you have the future in your hands, in Jesus' name. And Lord, for each one of us that's already accepted Jesus as well, we would just want to say, God, keep reminding us that you are the way to true life. When we keep chasing after other things and we chase after money and we chase after relationships and things that we think are going to make us happy, possessions and all this stuff, remind us that a relationship with the living God is what brings real meaning. Help us to keep chasing life in you, Jesus, and not in other things. So we rejoice, God, that we can move from fear to faith, that you hold the future in your hands. We rejoice that you've prepared a place for us. For those that are children of God, we say we are children of God. And you have prepared a place for us, and you're coming to take us home, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What a great passage. Yes. What such a wonderful passage of Scripture. Go back and read it. There's even more in the chapter. The band's going to come up. We're going to sing a song together. And then make sure you say hello to someone you don't know.